On December 13, 1985, 3 years after the murder, Melvin Hett finished his first report, finding that 17 of the questioned hairs were microscopically consistent with known samples of Fritz and Williamson. After spending more than 2 years and over 200 hours analyzing the first samples, Hett picked up steam considerably and knocked out the other 21 in less than a month. On January 9, 1986, he finished his second report, finding that all the other samples taken from the young men of Ada were consistent with nothing found in the Carter apartment. Still, Glenn Gore had not been asked to provide samples. It was tedious work, and not without its uncertainties. Hett flip-flopped several times as he labored with his microscope. Once he was certain a hair belonged to Debbie Carter, but later changed his mind and decided it came from Fritz. Such is the nature of hair analysis. Hett flatly contradicted some of Susan Land's findings and even managed to impugn his own work. He initially found that a total of 13 pubic hairs came from Fritz and only 2 from Williamson. Later, though, he changed his numbers, 12 for Fritz and 2 for Williamson. Then 11 for Fritz plus 2 scalp hairs. For some reason, Gore's hair finally entered the picture in July 1986. Someone down at the Ada Police Department woke up and realized Gore had been neglected. Dennis Smith collected scalp and pubic hair from Gore and from the confessed killer Ricky Joe Simmons and mailed them to Melvin Hett, who evidently was quite busy because nothing happened for a year. In July 1987, Gore was asked again to provide samples. Why, he asked? Because the police couldn't find his earlier samples. Months passed with no report from Hett. In the spring of 1988, the trials were approaching, and there was still no report from Hett on the Gore and Simmons samples. On April 7, 1988, after the Fritz trial was underway, Melvin Hett finally issued his third and last report. The Gore hairs were not consistent with the questioned hairs. It took Hett almost 2 years to reach this conclusion, and his timing was beyond suspicious. It was another clear indication that the prosecution so firmly believed in the guilt of Fritz and Williamson that it found it unnecessary to wait until all the hair analysis was completed. In spite of its perils and uncertainties, Melvin Hett was a staunch believer in hair analysis. He and Peterson became friendly, and before the Fritz trial, Hett passed along scientific articles touting the reliability of evidence that was famously unreliable. He did not, however, provide the prosecutor with any of the numerous articles condemning hair analysis and testimony. 2 months before the Fritz trial, Hett drove to Chicago and delivered his findings to a private lab called Macron. There, one Richard Bisbing, an acquaintance of Hett's, reviewed his work. Bisbing had been hired by Wanda Fritz to review the hair evidence and testify at trial. To pay him, Wanda was forced to sell Dennis's car. Bisbing proved to be far more efficient with his time, but the results were just as conflicting. In less than 6 hours, Bisbing refuted almost all of Hett's findings. Looking at only the 11 pubic hairs that Hett was certain were microscopically consistent with Fritz, Bisbing found that only 3 were accurate. Only 3 could have come from Dennis Fritz. Hett was wrong about the other 8. Undaunted by such a low estimation of his work by another expert, Hett drove back to Oklahoma, ready to testify without changing his opinion.